All right, guys, I have an announcement to make. I am closing down the free Fuck It Diet Facebook group that has over 1,000 members in it. And I am trying to move that community and those posts and comments and people who are looking for support and other people who are going through this, as well as access to me, over to Patreon, where I currently am doing those Q&As for Podcast Insiders. I want this to be a very affordable, pay what you can community that allows you guys to engage with each other and also allows you to ask your questions for Q&As for the podcast. So it's going to be connected to the podcast, and it's also going to be a place for people who are dedicated enough to give a dollar a month, but also may want to just try it out and not jump to purchasing a more expensive program of mine or whatever. People who want to be a part of the community and ask questions for the podcast and interact with each other, but want to be able to do it on a pay what you can scale. It is $1 a month or more, of course, but this will help me not only keep the podcast going, but also really be able to engage with you guys and create an awesome space. Patreon has been kind of quiet and a dead space because I had all these other places on the internet where people were having access to me, and basically I'm trying to consolidate and make it super simple and super clear, both for your sake and for my sake. So again, and I've said this before, but if you want to become a podcast insider, meaning you can ask questions for the podcast, questions I'm going to be answering today, people who have already asked questions, you go right on over to patreon.com/Caroline Dooner, Caroline Dooner, Dooner, and you join up for $1 a month. You can cancel at any time, but you will be able to ask questions in there and access the Fuck a Diet community, where you guys can post and comment on each other's posts. You can ask questions that I will answer on the podcast, but you can also answer each other's questions or talk about how you've been experiencing a similar thing. And I'm going to be posting new stuff. I really want it to become a community. I really want it to become a place where I can interact with you guys and where I can sort of have this podcast interact with you guys as well. And I'm going to be podcasting more. I know I said that before, but that I wanted vacation, but I really am going to be podcasting more, and I really am excited for this change. I'm scared for this change too, because I feel like people are going to be disappointed, people who really relied on that free group. But I really hope that $1 a month is not too big of a step up. And you can also join Fucketeer Academy, which has a private Facebook group as well. I'm looking to really focus engagement in places where I will be, where I will be able to actually be there and be a guiding force. And that is the plan. So now let me give the official episode intro. You are listening to Fuck It Diet Radio, and I am Caroline Dooner, the creator of the Fuck It Diet. I am your host here, and I write all the posts on thefuckitdiet.com, and it's all about normalizing your relationship to food through eschewing, what a fancy word, basically leaving behind diet culture and everything that diet culture has taught you about worth and weight and health. So without further ado, here is the obligatory ukulele theme song before I start reading new posts and answering podcast insider questions. All right, guys, it is Labor Day, and I have made this big change with the Fuck It Diet free community, essentially. I have condoned people in that group over the next 2 weeks before I archive the group to start their own unofficial normal eating groups on Facebook if they want to keep talking to each other for free. And if you want access to me, it's $1 a month over at Patreon. And hopefully that'll make it okay for everyone. There are people responding, fully supporting it, excited to join. And there are people who are bummed out. And I'm just reminding them, start your own group. I fully condone it. Okay, so basically what I've started doing on this podcast is I am reading posts because I love to write. And it's a lot easier to just write a blog post that's on my mind and that I want to share quickly. But I also love talking and going on tangents. And also people are different, have different learning styles, and I figure I will offer similar content in those two different formats. So what I've been doing on this podcast for the past couple months is I've been reading old posts and then reading new posts too, and then I've started answering podcast insider questions, which is very exciting and is only going to continue and hopefully will grow and become a beautiful flowering community of people who are engaged with each other and engaged with the podcast. And that is really my dream, to have it be affordable, pay what you can. I will always be offering my programs as well, and I will be letting you guys know about them when they when the cards open for them. But this is hopefully a way to really create an awesome community. Okay, I've said it over and over and over again. So now what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be reading a new post. And as usual, I haven't brought it up yet. So I'm going to go click on blog. All right, my most recent post is called "Why Won't I Go to School for Nutrition?" And I wrote this post because there was a troll. This is another reason why I am switching over to Patreon. And so you have to be like a little bit dedicated to it in order to post, because there were a lot of trolls in the groups. And there were also a lot of people who weren't really ready to do it. And I understand that it's nice for them to be able to read what other people are saying, but it was just kind of like a wonky energy to try and rein in. But there was a troll named Alan. I always do get wary when men want to join the group. And I know that's not fair, because there are men who really do want to learn how to eat normally. This is not exclusive to women, though there is a particular experience of having a body and having curves and sort of being sexualized in weird ways, you know, depending on your body. I mean, there is a specific experience as a woman in this journey, but it does apply to everyone. But at the same time, I do get wary when men want to join, because I just sort of like doubt that they are joining for the right reasons. It's terrible. And some of them are totally awesome. And some of them are trolls, actual trolls that live under a bridge. And he was just stirring the pot and saying, "Don't you think that in a couple of years, Dr. Phil will be exposing this anti-diet fad as a hoax and a scam? Why haven't Isabel Fox and Duke and Caroline Dooner gone to school for nutrition? Blah, blah." And I was like, oh God. Anyway, so it inspired this post because this is something that I think about a lot. I've asked myself many times over the past couple years if I should go back to school for nutrition or psychology, because not only did I wonder whether it was actually something I wanted to study more in depth, but I also sort of thought that maybe it would give me some legitimacy, that I would keep talking about what I was talking about, but if I had those degrees, that you'd be like, oh, I can trust her. So let me read this post and we'll go from there. So why won't I go to school for nutrition? Oh, the amount of times I've wondered if I should go back to school for nutrition just so I could tell you that I'd gone to school for nutrition, or gone back to school for psychology just so I could tell you I went to school for psychology, only to keep writing the same things I'm writing right now, the things that interest and fascinate me. I'm not a medical professional, and I never have been, obviously, and as much as I have considered forcing myself to become one, I'm really not meant to be. I am almost positive that I would hate it. I'm a writer and I'm a storyteller. And I also would be some kind of semi-Christo-Buddhist-ish forest priestess if anyone would let me officially. But I guess the easiest way to do that is to go to become a yoga teacher and then do whatever I wanted to do. Anyway, but the most important thing about me is that I used to be a food addict. And after I healed myself through relatively unconventional means, the Fuck It Diet, which I share all about on this podcast and on this site, I am now fascinated by the spiritual and emotional causes and ramifications of chronic dieting and diet culture. And I write about it, and I give advice, and I study energy work and grounding and emotions and inhabiting your body. I give advice that is come with a shit ton, that has to come with a shit ton of disclaimers, because I am not a medical professional. The things that healed me more than anything else were listening to my own body, unlearning what I learned about health and weight, changing the way I looked at beauty and weight, facing my fears of weight, not listening to certain medical professionals who told me things that were counter to this intuition, doing some creative recovery, specifically The Artist's Way, that book is very healing, and being willing to be imperfect and make imperfect things. Those are not things I think a nutrition degree could give me. Same with run-of-the-mill psychology. Not, you know, psychology is super nuanced and there are many different methods, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, I would still just want to talk about soul and purpose stuff. So I really do fall into the camp of embodiment, spirituality. And the trainings that I've been called to do have been more energy work and how to really encourage myself and how to lead other people back into their bodies to feel what is stuck. That is how I like to kind of tackle the emotional and mental part of this. I fully condone people going to nutritionists and psychologists. I would really, really hope that you would find health at every size practitioners who definitely exist. Christy Harrison, who has the Food Psych podcast, which is an amazing podcast, she is a nutritionist who specializes in health at every size and eating disorders. And Linda Bacon is a scientist, and I cite her all of the time because the work of scientists is incredibly important for the work that I do. I am just not one. I am not a scientist, and even if I force myself to be just so I had some legitimacy for the sake of people who start following me, I wouldn't be good at it. It's not the piece I'm meant to do. I'm meant to sort of do this translation piece where I'm translating the studies that have been done, the science that, you know, the metabolic science that I've been able to research to support my own personal experience, and then teach with my lens. That's what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just can't do anything about it. Okay. Let me keep Rag one on a tangent, of course. The reason the Fuck It Diet worked when no doctor, diet, self-help guru, or even intuitive eating book could help is because it tackled two things at once. First, it tackled the biological and physical reasons that keep people obsessed with binging and with food. At the exact same time, it addressed the emotional and spiritual and cultural reasons that we become obsessed with food and with weight. Again, like I just said, I cite the scientists that need to be cited when I'm talking about the biological and metabolic and scientific parts of this process. I often cite Linda Bacon. I can also cite Tracy Mann, who has a book called Secrets from the Eating Lab. But I cite them so I can talk about what I really want to talk about, which is the spiritual and the emotional and the energetic, the somatic, the intuitive, and resting.
Of course.
And food. Food healed me as well, obviously. So that's where we have to start. But then I'm interested in sort of where that leads, if you know what I mean. I wrote this to kind of give the big disclaimer, even though I try to give it over and over and over again, that I'm not a medical professional. I am not qualified to be the sole guidance of people going through very restrictive eating disorders. That is not my expertise. That is not my experience personally. And it is not actually what I want to be doing. I want to be talking about the soul piece. I want to be talking about the emotional and kind of our avoidance of our bodies. And I want to talk about that experiential part. And what that means is that you need to use your own intuition kind of to know whether that's enough for you right now or whether you need to go get more support. If you need to go to rehab or you need someone to really help you through, if you're very restrictive, anorexic, or have really extreme bulimia, the thing to do is to get a lot more help and then either use the fuck it diet as a supplement or come back when you are ready to kind of do that next step. And the other thing is just the understanding that I don't believe that binge eating is an eating disorder all on its own. I think it's super connected to restriction. And that's been my personal experience. But again, I am not a specialist in eating disorders. So everything I say should be taken with a grain of salt. And if you want to do that energy, emotional piece, I'm your girl. And if you need to focus somewhere else, someone else can be your girl or guy or whatever. I just took a really long time. I paused this and tried to figure out what the gender neutral version of girl or guy would be. And I just don't know. So someone can tell me if they know. I'm also really tired. I know that I always make a podcast when I'm really tired, which is why I need 2 years of rest. But guys, let me give you an update on my 2 years of rest. So for anyone who is listening to this new, I had this half joke, half super serious kind of declaration that I was going to go on 2 years of rest. And I declared it last May, which was May 2016. So it's been almost a year and a half, honestly. So one, not really, but one would think that I would have gotten somewhere. But nearly comically, the first year was the busiest of my life, maybe, honestly. I was running programs on the Fuck It Diet. I was taking programs. I was professionally acting. I moved twice. I bought a house, which is why I moved the second time. I moved cities. First, I moved from New York to Philadelphia, and then I moved from my rental house to the house that I bought. I starred in shows, and I had this lens of rest, meaning I knew how important rest was, and I was carving out all the time that I could to rest when I could. But what I need and what I needed was like really just days and days and days and months and months and months of taking a lot of pressure off of myself and taking kind of revamping the way I look at every area of my life, because I sort of did this with the food and weight thing. I took all the pressure off myself to be any certain way that I used to think I had to be. But now I wanted to do it with career stuff, with relationship stuff, with any sort of remnants of workaholism, which are really hard to stamp out because they're definitely a coping mechanism and control issue, you know, and it's really, really related to the way we relate to our bodies and the way we relate to food. So I wanted to have this extreme experience of rest, but of course, irony of ironies, I was busier than ever for a really long time. However, at the end of June, the show that I was in ended, and I started, you know, and I'm writing the Fuck It Diet book as well. And I finished it. I'm just editing it now, which is so exciting. Really excited. And I will, of course, be updating you on that as well. But I have slowly been unwinding, and I was doing a little bit of traveling, which I know that that's considered vacation for people, but I still find it really exhausting. I don't consider that rest. I consider that traveling. I think that that has its own kind of stress and its own own energy, which is healing, of course, in its own way, but rest, real rest, no obligations, no pressure, no rushing anywhere, no rushing to accomplish things or make people impressed with me or make me impressed with me. That's what I'm really looking for. And that is what I've been able to do for the past couple weeks. And more specifically, the past week and a half, because I actually finally got back from the shore where I was with my family. Love my family, but there's, you know, I need like, this is like a very specific sort of monkdom that I'm experiencing. I know it's going to be temporary. I know that it's a healing phase. I know that I'm going to be sharing about it. And really the purpose is to then implant that into your life, because there's no such thing as complete and total rest unless you're really, really avoiding life. Even me trying to sort of avoid life right now to have this healing phase, you know, my roof is leaking like into my bedroom, stuff like that. Life just keeps coming at you. But there is a lot to learn by taking off the pressure and kind of seeing what you do with that. And that is what I'm going to continue sharing about. And it leads into one of the questions that I'm going to answer today. So let me go over to Patreon. Again, if you want to become a podcast insider and ask questions like the ones I am answering, Patreon, patreon.com/Caroline Duner. That's my name. Okay, let me go. So clicking on community. All right, I'm answering Erica's question. Hi, Caroline. Thanks for doing this so we can ask questions. One thing that I have been really curious about lately is rest. I totally admire your 2 years of rest, and I know we all need more rest, but how can we all implement this in our own lives? I work full-time as a teacher, and I'm a mother of two, and I have writing and other side hobbies I'm very passionate about and want to be able to keep doing. So can I rest when I feel like there isn't enough time? I know that some of it is letting go of expectations too, so where do I start? This is such a good question. I am positive that most of the people who are listening to this totally, totally resonate with you and are more along the lines of what you're experiencing. Working full-time, mother of two, and having other things on the side that they really, really love, that they intend to keep doing, and how do they rest without sacrificing something? This is life, right? Life is exhausting, and being engaged, and I mean engaged in your life and doing the things that you need to do and want to do, can seemingly take up every moment of your time and totally deplete you. So, all right, there's a very simple answer, and there's also a more complicated answer. So let me start with the very simple answer, and that is to begin to do this in bite-sized chunks. So I genuinely recommend that everybody, not just people struggling with squeezing in rest, but that everybody take a 10-minute lie down every day where you don't have to do anything. This is I call it meditation light. It is extremely actionable, and it also signals to your body and to your whole being that you are willing to take time to sink in and to do nothing. So if you're genuinely struggling for ways to give yourself a little bit of peace during your day, I totally recommend a 10-minute lie down. Squeeze it in whenever you can. Once you get home from work, in between, you know, activities with your kids, driving them around, making dinner, whatever, take a 10-minute lie down where you insist on being left alone just for 10 minutes if you can. Even just the act of giving yourself this time, even if it's unsuccessful and you get interrupted, is a step in the right direction. This leads into the more complicated answer, which is it's all about, just like you said, it's all about expectations that you have on yourself. It's all about those kind of insidious subconscious pressures you have on yourself to do more or to hurry up or to do things faster or to accomplish things faster or to be constantly productive. The other thing I want to point out is that your hobbies, those hobbies you mentioned, one of them you mentioned was writing, It is totally possible that these hobbies feed you in a restful way. They might not. You might need to be looking for other time that you can feed yourself and recharge yourself, but it's all about allowing and genuinely going after, even if it's just a tiny bit of time, going after those activities or non-activities that feed you, that recharge you, that are just for you, that are for your soul. Obviously, the physical body is important to rest, and you need to seek that out in any way that you can. But we're also talking about this sort of existential rest, right? This willingness to let yourself off the hook, this honesty with yourself about what is necessary and what is unnecessary, what feeds you and what doesn't feed you, when there are, you know, obligations that you must uphold, your job, being a mother, those are things that will take so much of your time. However, those hobbies that you love sound like they could be things that genuinely feed you. If they're not, obviously you want to kind of re-examine what they do for you. But what you want to begin allowing for yourself are these kind of times of creative play and frivolity and not accomplishing, essentially, even if you're writing, you're actually working towards a goal. Is this something that feeds you in a way and kind of takes you out of the rat race? That's what we're looking for. We're also looking for, my definition of what rest is to me is being super, super aware of and super honest with myself about the pressures I'm putting on myself. When am I kind of in a state? We're also looking at the energetic state that we're in, right? Because we can be doing nothing, quote unquote, but sort of in this rabid phone checking kind of like unsettled state. And what that has is this underlying subconscious energy, these shoulds, these limiting beliefs, these pressures and expectations of I should be doing something else. I should be accomplishing something. I should be going faster. We have all of these things kind of running in the background. And so basically, let's zoom out for you, right? So you talked about this very, very full life you have. You have all these obligations. You're a busy, busy woman like so many people who listen to this podcast. People who have to hold down multiple jobs, people who are in, you know, medical internships and they can't, you know, it's just kind of a brutal time. It's all about the way you talk to yourself. Can you add a lens of rest? Can you become really honest with yourself about the unnecessary pressures that you're putting on yourself? Can you, like I said, take times of real repose and real physical rest, even if it's just 10 minutes of doing nothing? Can you allow that for yourself? And then being honest with yourself about what resistance is coming up. What are your limiting beliefs that pop up when you try to take that time for yourself, when you try to take that 10 minutes? That's what can be really good about the 10 minutes, is because not only will it actually be helpful, I literally just went down and did it in the middle of this podcast because I was so tired when I was doing the beginning. It was really strange. And I feel super revived 10 minutes lying down doing nothing. But also, one of the really helpful things that we can begin to work with is the resistance that will pop up when we try to give ourselves one of those things. There is nothing radical about giving yourself 10 minutes of lying down, but it can feel really radical if we have a lot of resistance to letting ourselves off the hook. So I hope that has been helpful. It really is about the way you're looking at your life, the way you are talking to yourself, the things you are allowing yourself to do, the things you are prioritizing. Even if, you know, it is a rare thing that you get to get that babysitter for 3 hours and go do something that's just for you, that is restful, that feeds your soul, having that be a priority for you is going to make a big difference, and really getting honest with the way you are relating to productivity and rest. Super happy to continue this conversation. You can ask more questions about this. Other people can pipe in on the community in Patreon about this, because this is something that this is like next level stuff, right? The Faka diet, in my experience and in my opinion, is like the gateway into looking at the way that you're living your entire life. What pressures are you putting on yourself beyond just weight? You know, weight and food is a very specific way that we do this, but we do this in so many different ways as well. So give yourself those 10 minutes. See if you can allow that. See if that's reviving on a physical level. See what your resistance is to that 10 minutes. And then see that your hobbies are actually feeding you. That might be time that you take that is actually adding to rest. But be honest with yourself about how you are sort of thinking about that and how you're framing your need to do your hobbies. Is it from an unrestful place or a restful place? All right, let's move on to the other question. So basically, the reason that I made my decision about moving over to Patreon was because I discovered this community section today where you can only post if you are in the community, if you are a patron, if you are a podcast insider. That being said, because I just discovered it today, I discovered some questions over there that I had not seen posted because I didn't get a notification about it. So that is why I haven't answered some of your questions, guys, and I'm sorry about that. The other thing about this community is it's possible that you'll want to, if you have the desire to be anonymous and to not have your name be on here, you can only post if you're in the community, but I do think you can read it if you're not. So if you would like to be anonymous, I recommend that you make an alias, a different name, and then you will be protected because I'm not positive how this works. Okay. The question is, and the question was about summer. So now that fall has basically begun, I'm answering this late because I didn't realize that this is a place where questions were, and I'm sorry about that. But Nikki asks, do I have any tips for handling summer depression? Everyone seems to love summer, but I hate it. I hate sweating. I hate crowds. I hate bugs and breathing fake AC air. For those of us with body issues and excessive body hair, wearing less clothes sucks. The humidity and heat crush any motivation I have to practice yoga or even take a walk outside. And then because I'm not moving my body in ways I enjoy, I feel awful. Those little voices in my head start to chime in. You're not doing enough, you're weak, everyone else is enjoying summer, so there must be something wrong with you. If you're not going to move, can you at least start watching your carbs? That's what's going on in her head. It's this constant internal battle all through summer, and usually by the end of August, I'm full-fledged depressed. I can already feel myself following the same cycle again, and I'd love to break it. Do you have any tips, any journaling prompts, or meditations I could try? Okay. First, I'm going to empathize with you because, Nikki, I kind of hate the summer too. And before I really changed my relationship to my body and became less afraid to expose my body, I hated it even more. I like just dreaded it and hated every moment of every day because I didn't want to wear shorts and I didn't want to take part. So I get it, and I still get it because even now that I'm like super comfortable wearing shorts and like not caring about cellulite, etc., I still genuinely hate being hot, and I hate sweating too, and I hate bugs too. My mom is like you, she hates AC air. One of my answers is I surrender to the AC. I just like make sure that I can be in AC if I'm going to be spending a lot of time somewhere. I'm also with you with the excess body hair. Like, I find going to the pool and going to the beach really difficult because I think that like hair removal is like one of the most difficult things in the world. And I know that we shouldn't have to remove hair. There's a whole movement and it's a wonderful movement. People are kind of like pushing back against that, but even still, we kind of bump up against societal norms in the summer and what people expect of you. And it can be really, triggering. It can also be just really uncomfortable, like in a genuine heat, sweating, hot, dehydrated way. So I totally get it. And there are a couple levels to this answer, because there's no simple way to like allow you to avoid the heat. Because one of the answers is, hey, some people just really hate the heat. That is part of this, right? You hate actually sweating and actually being hot. It makes you not want to be active. There is an expensive answer to this question, and it's not really practical, but I'm going to put it out there anyway, because I do like to talk about expectations and the choices we have. Because one really crazy answer, but one that is actually totally legit, is moving to a place where the summers are milder. And I know that that is not a possibility for most people, or it doesn't feel like a possibility for most people, because it's a whole, you know, relocation is a thing that carries a lot of privilege. You have to be able to find another job. You have to have the money to be able to relocate. And you have to have the freedom and the kind of like the family freedom and the, you know, whatever else freedom to kind of pick up and move and start over again. So I understand that that's an extreme option. The other option is also expensive. It would be to take a lot of vacations to cooler destinations. I don't know where you live actually, but the Pacific Northwest, Canada, Maine, New England, those have cooler summers and could take away part of this misery. Because the other part of the misery is are the weight expectations that you have on yourself, the limiting beliefs, the judgment of your body, and that's what we're going to talk about next. But if we're talking about plain and simple, hating heat, hating sweating, hating moving your body when it's hot, those are legit to me. It is really dehydrating. I think the people who do exercise in the extreme heat are crazy and sadistic. Not sadistic, masochistic. That's it. Masochistic. So basically, I need to give you full permission to hate summer. I know that that is probably not what you expected, and that you would rather me heal you and make you love summer. But basically, part of this misery is you hating summer and thinking that you shouldn't hate summer. Now, I used to hate summer. I don't hate summer anymore, but I still find a lot of heat and a lot of sweating, and I hate being really hot in the sun, and I hate wearing sunscreen, and I hate getting sunburned, and I find the summer difficult. I really do, and I really, really prefer my soul loves a cool breeze. Some sun and a cool breeze. I love the fall. I love the spring. I love all those cooler climates, but I live in Philly, which is really hot during the summer. So anyway, I just want to give you permission, essentially, to not love summer, to seek other things out, to not go to the beach if you hate the beach. I hate the beach. I really don't like it. And hate is a strong word. I don't mind walking on it and looking at it. And I like the cool breeze, but I'm not a beach goer. I just am not. And if you love the beach, finding bathing suits that fit and finding, you know, kind of like pushing through the difficulty of either embracing body hair or removing body hair or whatever it, you know, aligns with you is worth it. If you really love the beach and you really love the sun and you really love kind of doing that thing, there's going to be some worthwhile sacrifices and, you know, things that you'll push through. But if you don't, I'm giving you permission not to like it and not to do it for the most part. So the next piece is kind of getting honest with yourself about the limiting beliefs that it's bringing up. So giving yourself permission to not love it and kind of just like understand that you are not alone and that there are a lot of other people who don't like it too. And that you can kind of create your summer the way you want. You can choose destinations that are cooler. You don't have to go to the beach. You hating air conditioning is a shame, because that is one of the ways I get through. But I do get it. It's, you know, it's stale air. I get that. But Making your summer the way you want it to be in a location that you want is something that you should seek as much as possible. The next thing is, let's look back at what you said. You're not doing enough, limiting belief. You're weak, limiting belief. Everyone else is enjoying summer, so there must be something wrong with you, limiting belief. And I just gave you permission, hopefully, to let that go a little bit. If you're not going to move, can you at least start watching your carbs? So those are all, and the limiting belief there would be, if I'm not moving, I need to be watching my carbs. Also, I shouldn't be gaining weight, or I need to watch my weight in the summer. Those are all limiting beliefs that are kind of getting triggered when you bump up against this experience, essentially. So I recommend a couple of things for limiting beliefs. First of all, understanding, just like the general awareness that you have limiting beliefs, that these kind of live in your subconscious and they're sort of attached to emotions that you haven't felt or experiences that you haven't fully processed, or just plain old beliefs that you have soaked up along the way that have continued to seem really true. I recommend journaling. I recommend you do kind of this morning pages / brain dump stream of consciousness writing. And the purpose of this is to just look at your limiting beliefs, just see them in front of you. And then the awareness is the first step, and then energy work and kind of sinking into your body and feeling the stress attached to these is the second. I teach specific energy work methods for limiting beliefs in my program, Spucketeer Academy, and Become Your Own Damn Guru, but you can look up EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, tapping. It is a super mainstream energy work that you can do on these times when you get overwhelmed, and it really will help. I recommend that you do that for anything, for any limiting beliefs, for any stress that comes up. It's all about allowing your body to process the things that you haven't processed before. Those are the things that I go deeper into in my programs, but that really is what I recommend for people who are bumping up against this stress every time they experience something. So the first step is figuring out what your limiting beliefs are, letting yourself off the hook and really allowing yourself to reframe those and unlearn them, letting yourself off the hook for not loving summer, and then doing some energy work on the limiting beliefs. And you can look it up on YouTube, Google. It's free. You can look up Emotional Freedom Technique. Obviously, if you're in Fucketeer Academy, you can use what I teach in there. And there are, what's that horrible expression? There are many ways to skin a cat. There are many ways to say it. I love you, skin a cat. What do they say? There are more ways than one to skin a cat. There are many ways to lean into your body and to process what's stuck and triggering you. That is what energy work is, and that is what focusing on limiting beliefs does. That's like, it used to be a lot more mystical to me, but now it's like super cut and dry. I teach certain ways. EFT is another way that I have used in the past, and I recommend that. She continued, wait, did I ever finish this? Oh, any journaling prompts or meditations? Yeah, I recommend journaling on all those things you said. You're not doing enough, you're weak, everyone else is enjoying summer, so there must be something wrong with you. Really brain dump and stream of conscious right. Stream of consciousness, right? I don't know. On all of those things that you wrote, and see what else is in there. See what other beliefs are making you really miserable about not doing enough, and then try to do some energy work on it and be super aware of the way your brain is working and see how it's all these beliefs that we learned about what we should be doing. All right, let me see. All right, guys. All right. All right. I think that's it for this episode, episode 29. I plan on having episodes sort of this length, hopefully every week or two, doing sort of just this. I'm sure sometimes I will do something different. I will obviously have different things going on. But for the most part, I'll be reading what I've written and answering podcast insider questions. So if you want to get in on this again for the millionth time in this particular episode, it is patreon.com/Caroline Dooner. It's as little as $1 a month. You can cancel anytime and you can engage with each other and ask questions for the podcast. Other than that, be sure to subscribe. If you listen to this on iTunes, I would love a good review. It helps other people to find it so we can spread this message far and wide and make the world a little bit easier. And with that, happy Labor Day, guys. I hope you're resting. I hope you're eating whatever you want. I hope you're enjoying your damn life. Until next time.